हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so page 51. By regulating one's sex life, there's a chance that one may eventually be able to renounce sex or renounce the association of women. If this can be done, advancement in spiritual life comes very easily. So the idea is that, see, as we're looking at all the activities that we perform in the material world connected to sense gratification, we see it connected to ourselves. Right? So therefore, we're looking at what benefit we get from it. Right? That's the main point. So by regulation, then it starts. Then you can function with it in the mode of goodness. Right? Before that, we're doing things because of passion or ignorance. We're either driven by our attachments or desires, needs, different things like this. Right? But if we do things because we're supposed to do it, that's the mode of goodness. Does this make sense? Yeah. So now in the mode of goodness, you can look at things from the platform of knowledge. And in knowledge, then you make a decision, you know, based on intelligence, rather than simply based on, one's material desire. Does this make sense? Yeah. So then the point is whatever you regulate, that's what then you can bring into control. Something that's not regulated, you can't bring it into control. Right? Whatever anybody may say, it doesn't matter. This is Krishna's system. Right? The modern, you can do whatever you want and get whatever you want, is not a formula of success. If it is, why are people poor? Why is it that the majority of people don't have enough? And why is it they don't have what they want? If it was such a good formula, everyone would be satisfied and happy. But it's a bad formula because it does not mechanically work. It can't work. That's like saying I'm going to jump into the pool and stay very dry like I'm in the desert. And then you would say, that's stupid. But if I say, no, I'm going to do whatever I want and enjoy myself, we'll say, wow, that sounds good. But the two don't match. You can't do whatever you want and get a result. Right? If I want the nail to go into the wood, I have to take the hammer and exactly hit the nail in a specific place. I hit a little bit, 1 millimeter to this side or that side, the nail bends. I go a few more millimeters, I hit my thumb. Right? But the modern thing, no, I can do whatever I want. I can take it and whack the wall and the nail will go in. I don't even have to do anything. I just sit on my couch and push the buttons on my remote. As I push the button on the remote, because the button remote went down, let's say, 3 millimeters, the nail goes in. You would say this is the talkings of a madman. So amongst madmen, it all sounds great. I'm sure if at the insane asylum someone introduces themselves as Napoleon Bonaparte, the others would go, okay, cool. Well, that's interesting. My cousin is Marie Antoinette. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. In the society of insane people, insane things sound normal. So the point is by regulating something, then you're doing because you're supposed to. When you're doing because you're supposed to, then you can actually think about it. If you're doing because you want to, you don't really think about it. I think about maybe just in the moment how to get things done, but I don't think about the bigger picture. But if I regulate it, then because there's no excitement coming from passion and ignorance, therefore I can think about it. And because of that regulation, then it can be controlled. Right? So sex life, like anything else, is just another aspect of using Krishna's material energy for ourselves instead of for Krishna. So it's no different than anything else. It just happens to be a bit more intense. That's all. Because of the Adi Rasa, it includes everything else, so it's the most intense of all the forms of sense gratification. Just like in the spiritual world, of all the rasas, it's the most intense. So in the positive, it's the most intense, but in the negative, it's the most intense. So therefore, if you can regulate that one, then the other ones become easy. Right? So does that make sense? So the idea is that by regulation, right, that means it's being done according to Shastra, according to Guru, according to what should be done, despite the lack of popularity of such an approach. This is what works. Anything else absolutely doesn't work. Not, oh, it kind of works. Oh, okay, maybe that's better, but this works good. No, this works. Anything else does not work at all. Just doesn't. Right? People will say what they want. It just does not work. If it did work, then the world would be going on really great. Right? But it's not. Why? Because anything outside the Vedic does not work. We can say, no, but there's modern things that work. That's because they're following the rules of the Vedic. But because one doesn't know its connection to the Veda, it will be incomplete. Therefore, one gets a result, and then after some time, one changes it because there's something else that's not working. The Vedic is whole and complete. Therefore, if you use it, it works on all aspects. Right? If you don't use it, then something will work in one area or another, because that works, you have that, but then what's missing, then you want that, so you go for what's missing, you lose what you have. You know, it's like the dog, he's got the bone, and he sees a reflection in the water of a dog, and because it's reflection, it's a bigger dog and a bigger bone, and he wants that bone, so then he barks at that dog to scare him so that he'll drop the bone, but by barking, he drops the bone and it goes in the water. So he ends up with neither bone. That's the material, that's that, you could say, that is the material formula. And it always works. You always drop the bone. I want this, I lose that. The guy wants more money, more everything, he loses his family. He goes through the family, he loses his money. But people can't balance because they don't have the Vedas to show where it balances. Therefore, anything other than that just won't work. That's the whole point. These stories point out what happens. If you just don't follow things nicely, what's going on in Paranjana is what happens. It's just the way it is. People looking for a nice house, you know, looking for a partner, looking for nice situations, looking for all these things, just like Paranjana. No. This story is about us. It's about every living entity in the material world. But because we don't like to hear it, therefore, oh, we put that on the side. No, these other things are nice, you know. I say, like lambs going and playing in the field that is controlled by the wolves. Oh, no, it's nice. See, the sun's out, and it's very nice, and what a nice field. Like that. So the modes of nature, they will catch one. So here, then it says one may eventually. So the point is if you regulate, then you can start to think about it. You can see it in connection with the environment. You see what is gained, what is not gained. You can actually see. If we're enamored, we don't see. But when we're not, we're regulating, then we can see. Then we can see what is gained here. What is going on. Then we can start to see things in connection with Krishna. Right? So here the point of eventually renounce sex life, renounce the association of women, that means, what are we talking about? We're talking about the principle that this is a position of enjoyment rather than service to Krishna. Right? So grihasthas having children, that's service to Krishna. That's not what we're talking about renouncing. We're talking about renouncing the idea that it's good, clean fun. Right? Quoting one parent one day was talking to one of the teachers, something about this and that, and they were talking about the kids and things like that, and, you know, regulation. And I said, yes, but, you know, having the kids, you know, that's the thing. But it sure is fun. So this is someone who just doesn't have any idea. Just doesn't have an idea. Because that's all it is. And then the problem is the kids, all they're interested in is fun. Right? And because the fun was limited, the husband got on his motorcycle and drove off into the sunset. And now she's left with a whole, tribe of kids.
For her, it's no fun.
For now, it's not fun. Right? So that's the whole point. That's why the modern is not good. Because maybe at the moment it's fun, but then later on it's not fun. So the point is regulation according to Krishna, it's good. Just like, okay, we're cooking. And you could say, oh, then why would one do it? The point is, why does one cook? Right? One cooks, one has the desire, one must eat this and that. But anybody who has actually applied themselves, cooking for Krishna is so much nicer. Right? It's so much better. When you cook conscious Krishna. So therefore, the dealing in sex life, if it's connected to Krishna, it's so much better. Not because of the sense gratification, but because of the nature of the soul, the connection with Krishna, the relationship. That's what improves. Because we're used to hitting ourselves on the head with a hammer, and then is pain. And then when we stop hitting ourselves on the head with the hammer, we call that pleasure. We don't actually know what pleasure is, what happiness is. So if we're aware by regulation, we can start to see actual happiness is in Krishna consciousness. Anything else does not give happiness. Say what you want, it just doesn't give happiness. And even if you say there's a little bit, how much is it? Okay, just for example, the guy has the fancy, fancy car. How often do people notice it? How often is there an advantage? Right? Okay, you drive up to the fancy hotel. There's a valet there. No one sees you. To him, it's just another car. He just takes it, drives around the back, you walk in. How often do you drive up and there's people there that notice? So if they don't notice, what does it matter? You could drive up in anything, an old jalopy, and nobody would care. You understand? So if nobody, and how often do they notice? A whole lifetime of having one of these fancy cars. How many times people notice? I remember at the, what do you call it? The Dubai Mall. There's one little parking lot. It's about as big as this room. And it's for fancy cars. Everybody else parks on the other side. But, you know, if it costs more than $300,000, you can park it there. Like that. But the people that own the car aren't there. So everybody else walking by, they'll look and go, wow, nice Rolls or nice Bentley or nice this or that. They don't know. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, there's only moments. You have to get the thing, you have to take care of the thing, so many things like this, and there's a couple of moments. And those moments are only what power the whole thing. Those few moments where somebody does notice, somebody does make a comment, somebody does recognize. So, Krishna conscious means those moments are eternal, not just one here and one there. One that you can remember. Oh, yes, back in, you know what I'm saying? The guys are sitting there, and yes, you know, then when we stormed the, you know, like this and that. They'll be talking about D-Day, they'll be talking about Okinawa, they'll be talking about this and that. How long was that? How long ago? And that's it. But because they had a moment, everybody else is recognizing. And they have a festival, they have the thing, the flag is raised, everyone's there, you know, saluting, crying. Of course, they're sitting in a wheelchair. But whatever it is, they're all being recognized. But for a moment, that was how long ago? So that's the problem. Yes?
Acharyas recommend to hear the Krishna Rasa Leela. And then the lust in the heart will eventually go away.
Yes.
And it appears a little contradictory because it's the same kind of subject.
But it's the real subject. See, the problem is just like, is eating a problem?
No.
So what's the problem?
Hungry.
Yeah, so if you're eating prashad, it's not a problem. If you're eating if you're eating boga, then it's a problem.
But can it be both? We take in prashadam, but it's also hungry.
That's mixed. If we see it that Krishna, the taste is Krishna, that's why it's so nice, then it's pure devotional service. If we just take it, ooh, I like potatoes, then it's mixed. Because it is Krishna, but then there is that aspect. But at least that excitement is about Krishna. Right? So even that you're attracted to the potato there is fine. But the problem is because you see it as sense gratification, that one part will be a problem. So it's prashad, that's good. That you're attracted, that's good. But because of the idea of the sense gratification, that will be the weak part. But because it's regulated, it's prashad, right? Especially if you eat at regulated times, then that starts to wear away at that. That's the whole thing. It wears away. And so eventually then it's about Krishna. Because I can remember sometime we'd be out on traveling Sankirtan. And so you'd be out, there were no temples and stuff. So you'd be staying at very wealthy people's houses. Like that. And they would cook really good. You know, this is, you know, back when people knew how to cook. Right? You know? But, you know, those ancient days, you know, back before the dinosaurs, you know, were extinct, you know, like that. So then, but it was so nice. And the finity, the spicing, everything was so nice. But after so many days, you actually preferred eating the khichdi in the bus than you did that because it was prashad. So the taste of prashad was so much more than that. So that's the thing, is you would see the two. You would see, we're simple, we're just cooking prashad, it's not very fancy. So then when you get the other, you like the fanciness. But after a while, it doesn't have the depth, it doesn't have the taste. You know. So then you start to see, that's the whole point of regulation, that's the whole point of being equal poise. That whatever situation you're in, you deal with that. And so then, by dealing with that attachment, then you start to see what's the higher principle. You know what I'm saying? So that's why then shastras then give a recommendation how you actually deal with sex life. But people look at that, oh, how can I enjoy more? No, it's how you can regulate. The Kama Shastra is how you can regulate sex life so that you can actually see the higher point. But people take it that, oh, Kama Sutra will show how to enjoy more. No, it's how to regulate. So then I'm doing things because the Shastras recommends. And so therefore, then the whole thing becomes regulated. And that regulation, then you start to be able to see the higher principle. Then, as it says here, eventually is able to renounce. Renounce meaning primarily that you're renouncing this is a form of sense gratification. Right? Because otherwise, you see, his great person, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, had 12 kids. But for him, it's not sense gratification. It's just duties as a grihastha. So therefore, the seventh Goswami. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the principle we're talking about. Because if we don't, because we think, oh, if I regulate, I'll lose the taste, then why will I do it? But no, if you regulate, then you get a higher taste, and you do because of the higher taste, not because of the lower taste. But we think only the lower taste can drive you to do anything. No, the higher taste is much more of a drive. Is that okay? Does this work? Yes.
So when somebody considers himself Krishna conscious, so there should be like always discussion about regulation.
How is it
regulated?
Yes. Because you may be Krishna conscious, but how do you apply Krishna conscious? Let's say I'm conscious of Krishna, okay? Good. Now, how are you going to apply that? Because I'm conscious, okay. But now, are you attracted to do something for Krishna? Are you attracted to Krishna? I'm conscious of Krishna, but am I attracted to Krishna? Do I want to do something for Krishna? So thinking, feeling, and willing. Right? Is it going to happen? I'm thinking about Krishna, I'm Krishna conscious. But am I feeling? Am I willing? This is where the weakness comes in. Is that one's thinking, that's good. But unless the feeling and willing is positive for Krishna, then how is it dynamic? And then, if you're thinking and feeling, how is that going to be expressed? Just any way you like, whimsically, or by regulation?
May it happen that actually it becomes quite impersonal?
Yes. Impersonal is the default setting. Is impersonal. We, by association, learn what is personal. Otherwise, the way we'll think is impersonal.
Yeah.
Oh, we have to do this because it's all the things like this. But why are we doing it? Because just regulation, that's the first step. We're thinking of Krishna, we're regulating. But why are we doing that? Because Krishna's a person and we want to interact with him. Because if you want to interact with him as a person, you have to do it the way they like. You know what I'm saying? Let us say the person comes in, is a very dignified gentleman you want to meet. And so then when you meet, now what do?
I do what I like.
If you do what you like, you come out here and yo, and get out the hand, and you do all the different things like this and that, and he's just standing there. You know, how's it going to work? Where's the relationship?
Yeah.
So the point is he's there, the form, the handshake, the different things like that, that's what he does. So you want to relate with him, you do what he does. So all we're saying in Krishna consciousness, all these regulations, this is what Krishna does. That's what Krishna does. Just like this. Did Krishna get very involved with Kubja? Did he get physically involved with Kubja? Yes? No?
Yes.
No.
No?
No. No?
Yes.
I would have. You understand? No. He didn't. Because for him, sense gratification is not of interest. It's devotion. So because Kubja had some affection for Krishna because of what she's done for him, that consideration, up to that point, he reciprocated. Past that point, then a sense gratification, he's not interested. Right? Queen Zadorka, then it's more. Right? There's 50-50. So therefore, in their time, they get full attention. Outside of their time, they don't get attention. Right? He takes care of all his other duties. But in Braj, because there's 100%, then no matter where Krishna is and which pastime, he's thinking of the gopis. So gopis he's thinking of. Therefore, Radha Partha Sarathi. Right? Means Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is thinking about Radharani and Vrindavan. Somebody says? That's the difference. So, the whole point, we can argue all we like about, no, we can do this, that, Yukta Vairagya, no, we're Westerners and this and that, great. But do you want to know Krishna as a person? Do you want to relate to him as a person? If you want to do that, do things the way he likes. This whole thing, no, but he's got to accept me how I am. He already is, and that's why he's come as Paramatma. Paramatma and Brahman deal with you as you like.
Yeah.
Bhagavan means you deal how he likes.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You make your choice. You like the impersonal? Hey, Krishna's already doing that. You like the personal? That's a whole different ballgame.
Does it mean I can impress Paramatma at least? By my.
Yes. Yeah. It means by following the regulations and all that, then you'll impress him. If you just want to do what you do, then you're dealing on the Brahman platform.
Okay, so.
And then you're only going to impress Brahman if you follow the laws of nature. So in other ways, unless you follow the rules at some level,
yeah.
Right? The personal dealings, the rules or the mechanics, right? The desire, right? The form, or the mechanics of it. At one of those levels, you have to deal. You deal outside of that, you get nothing. Literally, nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The guys are going along, there's a little low bridge, or, you know, been drinking a little bit, you know, like that. And they say, hey, wow, hey, let's jump off the bridge, you know, something like that. You know, okay, they do that. And then how many times they do that in their life?
Once,
yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah, so that's it. Because it was stupid. What do you get from it? You're soaking wet. You know, your house is like, you know, 5 kilometers away. It's freezing cold outside. And so now what? The return is, that's the whole point. You can do whatever you want, but then the return is, just like you could be driving and looking at the guy and talking and waving and all this, but then when you hit another car, that's what you get. You don't want to hit other cars, both hands on the steering wheel, you look forward. You want to talk, you just talk. Right? You know, I say, oh, but that's impersonal. Yeah, but that, it keeps you from getting killed. And so it has a personal aspect to it. You know what I'm saying? So you have to relate with God either as Bhagavan, as Paramahamsa, or Brahman. You don't have another alternative. A failure, yes. If you want to be successful, you have these three. If you want to fail, then you do whatever you want. So all we're doing is saying this just so that one's clear, there is no alternative. Accepting that, then we look at it, okay, now how we as an individual, we can apply this into our life and make our life successful. That's where then it becomes personal. But until we accept it, our life is impersonal and it's going to remain that way. Oh, but so many rules, so much force, so much this, force on who?
Body.
Yeah, who's and does the body care? Body really doesn't care. So if we're dealing with the soul, then the soul is beyond that, so therefore the soul can act beyond that. You can't claim, I'm the soul, I'm beyond the body, but then make all your decisions based on the body. And that's it. It has to be, I'm the soul, I'm servant of Krishna, and then Krishna, then we take it, our conditioning, how it connects to Krishna. So it looks the same. That's the part that's bewildering. It looks the same. It even in description sounds the same. But one is pure devotional service, and one is Aropya Bhakti. Aropya meaning, I project my desires onto everything I see, including Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, therefore, that's how then it can go on. Then it says, if this can be done, then advancement in spiritual life comes very easily. Right? Because if you can give up the desire that when I see something, it's for my enjoyment, then you can move forward. Because then you can, what's the alternative? I see it for Krishna's enjoyment. I see it connected to Krishna. Right? Then it works. Does that make sense? But if I don't see it connected to Krishna, then I'm going to remain in material consciousness. No ifs, no ands, no buts. So, we have to start somewhere. In other words, we may not be very expert at doing this in everything, but we can't buck the system. We have to acknowledge that this is the system, but I'm only able to apply it here. But the idea is that if I apply it here, it will naturally develop to where I can apply it everywhere. Right? But I have to accept the system in the first place. And then I apply it according to my ability. Because you'll say, oh, but this sounds so strict, so harsh. No, that's only because we're doing something so much different. If I took someone from a very traditional, regulated background and said this, they go, oh, yes, okay. That's it. For them, it's not a problem because their life is like that. But if we're from a life that its point is militating against any authority, then immediately it's, oh no, why do I have to do this? Because my whole life is dedicated to being anti-authoritative. Is it something like, I can't remember, maybe I'm saying it wrong, but anti-disestablishmentarianism?
Yeah.
That's it? Yeah. How to buck anything that's authority other than my own mind. Very popular before, and it's become more popular, and people are getting less than they used to before. Yes?
We analyze the prayers of great Vaishnavas, like Kunti Dev, Bhishma Dev. You find, like, even Brahma. They first address, like, Krishna as a person, like, glorify him, then they ask something, or they interact, and then they say, it's like a sandwich, right?
Yes.
So, would you, I mean, Is that the proper way to do it, like, as well for us to have that, you know, first glorify the Lord in our prayers, then we expose our situation and glorify? I mean, is that
yes.
The way how it should be?
Yes, because we're trying to connect ourselves to Krishna. So then if we want to do that, it should be about Krishna. But because it's about our relationship with Krishna, then that aspect's talked about. But because it's about the relationship, then you want to close with that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just it's just the personal way of doing things. Right? You can say, no, none of this thing, we're just straightforward. You know what I'm saying? You know, because we take it, all this stuff, it's all fluff and that, yeah. Just like one time you call up like that, it rings through, goes to voicemail, and then the voice comes on, yeah, leave a message. I'm going, okay, this guy's really into no frills. So. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, you can do that, but the relationship there is the cleverness of it. Cleverness of it. The, you know, how streamlined it is, how unique it is. And then those who appreciate that, they appreciate each other because of that. But it's not that they have a relationship. They have a relationship based on this third party thing. Third party is not a problem as long as you have a relationship. But here is that there isn't really one. It's all about that. Because you can deal third party like that. Therefore, then I like people like that. But it's the relationship is simply going to be based on that third party aspect. They don't really deal with each other because they've already said that all these frills and all that are, you know, just a waste of time. Let's just get down to the essence. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. How one becomes captivated by the association of one's dear wife is explained in this chapter by Narad Muni. Attraction for one's wife means attraction for the material qualities. Right? So that's what we're thinking about. Material qualities. One is that qualities themselves are Krishna. But if we don't see them connected to Krishna, they're material qualities. Right? So things are spiritual because we see it connected to Krishna. Even though whatever we're dealing with is Krishna, since we don't see it connected to Krishna, we don't get that credit. Right? So then one sees it, so one's attracted by those qualities. But when not seeing it connected to Krishna, then one thinks it's the wife is the source of these qualities, rather than these are coming from Krishna. This is a universal form. Right? So you could see as these qualities are attractive because they're Krishna. And then, because these are the qualities manifest, I interact with these qualities according to how Krishna, as these qualities, wants to be interacted with. So you simultaneously serve Krishna and interact with the living entity who thinks of the wife. Does this make sense? So two things get done. But otherwise, if you just see it as I like these qualities, then the question is, do you even interact with the person? Because if anything changes, then you don't like the person. Right? Because they're a manifestation of particular qualities or opportunities. Those are there, you like. Those change, you don't like. So it's not necessarily you like the person. Right? You like the situation. Right? Does that make sense? So even we want to say the modern, oh, but it's so much, it's not. It's more grungy than Paranjana. Paranjana's nice material. Yes.
Is that Kriya Shakti?
Which one?
The whole process, Kriya Shakti, having devotional service for Krishna, and also having knowledge and as Purusha.
But that's jnana. See, Krishna's desire, trying to fulfill that, that's the Icha. The Kriya is is how things work, the situations, how everything functions. And then the Jnana will be the attitude. Does that make sense? So when we identify as Krishna's servant, then we use the Kriya to please Krishna. So that's called devotional service. If we use the knowledge that I am this body, I am the controller and enjoyer, then we use the activities to please our own desire. So the process remains. It's just the Icha, instead of being Krishna, it's ourselves. Does that make sense? Yeah. So Kriya is how the forms and activities of them. Does that make sense? So therefore, the form of devotional service, that's Kriya. But that you're doing it to please Krishna, that's Icha. You understand? Because there's what you do, and there's the attitude you do it, and why you do it. I do an activity, okay. Why are you doing that activity?
Purpose.
There's a purpose, okay. So the purpose is different from the activity. Why are you doing the activity? Right? You see your connection to it, therefore your identity. So you understand? So your identity and your goals are different from the activity itself. Therefore, different people can be doing the same activity with different identities and different goals. Does that make sense? Right? So that's why one has to see all this. Because we're used to just the activity is all there is. Right? The skill is everything. No, but there's the attitude and the skill and the goal of the skill. Because I may understand the skill, I may have the right focus on the skill, but how do I identify myself? And what's the goal of that, of the results? That's going to make the difference. So somebody does it perfectly, but because they want to be recognized or want some benefit from it, it's not as interesting.
That is nice karma.
If it's done without attachment, it's nice karma. Stunned with attachment is sakam.
Is sakama beneficial?
If it's connected to Krishna, it'll then with time, by being connected to Krishna, then that part that's connected will give the results of knowledge and detachment. Right? And so from knowledge and detachment, that'll bring you to the stage of naishkarmya. And then naishkarmya, then that will bring you to the stage of doing it simply to please Krishna.
Naishkarmya is always the last thing.
No, prema is the last stage. Because that I'm not doing it for myself, that's a beginning stage. But that I'm simply doing it to please Krishna, that's the real thing. Because naishkarmya means I'm doing it without fruitive intent. Bhakti means I'm doing it to please Krishna. Sakam, I'm doing it for myself. Nishkam, I'm not doing it for myself. Bhakti, I'm doing it for Krishna. You understand? So we take naishkarmya and connect it to Krishna. Or we perform bhakti so it automatically includes naishkarmya. If I do it for Krishna, that means it's not for me. Right? But if I do it not for me, it doesn't mean it's for Krishna. Therefore the rules, because I want to do it for Krishna, therefore Krishna has ways he likes it. So I do it connected to Krishna how I like. How Krishna likes, not how I like. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is that the process to correct avidya? Is that the process to correct avidya?
Yes. Because by bhakti, knowledge naturally comes. That makes sense? One who is attracted by the material quality of darkness is in the lowest stage of life, whereas one who is attracted by the material quality of goodness is in a better position. So that's what we're meaning before. The regulation will bring you to goodness. If we're simply attracted without that knowledge, without the regulation, it will be darkness. Same situation. Two people dealing with their wife. One is dealing in ignorance, one is dealing in goodness. One is attracted and simply is attracted, and that's the only reason they're interacting. The other one may be attractive, but they're following the rules connected to that attraction. Seeing the higher principles, that's goodness. So the one in goodness will be elevated, the one in ignorance will be degraded. Sometimes we see that when a person is on the platform of material goodness, he's attached more or less by the cultivation of knowledge. This is, of course, a better position, for knowledge gives one the preference to accept devotional service. Right? That's the only reason it's better, because then the option for devotional service is there, because in knowledge you may see that devotional service is better than not doing devotional service. But otherwise, you're still bound, you're still conditioned, but it's a better positioning of condition, because from that position, you may catch Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it's recommended. Yes?
For us, somehow, it happened the other way around. Well, yeah. We took Krishna consciousness, and now we're trying to cultivate knowledge.
Yes, yes.
So, why would we do that?
It will come automatically. Because if you perform devotional service, knowledge and detachment come. When that comes, then one will start to situate oneself in a lifestyle of goodness. Right? Because if we're on the platform of pure goodness, then you could say that's not necessary. But if we're on the platform of pure goodness, then we're already doing pure devotional service. But if we're not, then the material position we situate ourselves in is goodness. Because from there, we have more of an opportunity to think about Krishna. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, in our living room, we have pictures of Krishna. There's more of a chance you might think of Krishna than if we had some just mundane pictures on the wall. So, therefore, situating yourself in goodness is a more advantageous position. It's not that it itself is the perfection. It's a better tool. Right? You know, just like you want to hammer a nail, easier with a hammer than with a brick. You could do it with a brick. You can say, yukta vairagya and all this, but here's a hammer. No, I want to use the brick. That's less intelligent. So therefore, goodness is preferred because it is based on knowledge. And that from that platform of knowledge, we could then choose Krishna as opposed to Maya. But we want to eventually get it to the point where we're choosing Krishna based on a spontaneous platform. That it's our attraction to Krishna why we do things. Right? In the material world, we do things because of our attraction to what we're going to get from it materially. So we're simply trying to reverse the process and do everything because it pleases Krishna. Right? So therefore, the same spontaneous position, but it's connected to Krishna. It's perfect. But with that spontaneous connection, position is not connected to Krishna. That's what degrades us. So then the point in between is the mode of goodness. By knowledge, then I can see the difference between spontaneous attraction to Krishna and spontaneous attraction to Maya. And I can see the superiority of one and the inferiority of the other. Is that so then that makes things work nicely. So that's why then, even though we don't come from that background, the devotional service will afford us that understanding. So when it's there, take it. So we hear these things so that when it does come, we see it's an advantage and take it, rather than leave it. So if we don't mention it, so we can say, no, but we're not interested in the mode of goodness. Yes, but we're less interested in the mode of passion and ignorance. So we're not interested in the material qualities, but of them, the mode of goodness is the quality you can function from. Because the mode of goodness being done to please Krishna becomes pure goodness. But you don't have pure passion or pure ignorance. Those you do have, but they're not spiritual. So that means the goodness is useful in that it is the reflection of what Krishna does. Then we do it connected to Krishna, that becomes pure goodness. Otherwise, it's perverted goodness. But passion and ignorance, that's not what Krishna does, so those don't really have any use in his service. Right? Very minimal. In the beginning, you can start to use them. But as you advance, you would not use them. Is that what I'm saying? Unless one comes to the platform of knowledge, the Brahma Bhuta, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30:20, stage, one cannot advance in devotional service. As Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 18:54 says, okay, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Right? So being situated transcendentally is what one wants to do. So transcendental means above the material nature. So then one does that by being situated in goodness and without a desire for any results within the material sphere. Does that make sense? So that situation, that's what makes it good. So we can either be aware of it, and when the opportunities come up, choose that, or we can be aware of devotional service, and naturally these things will develop. And either way, the same position is obtained. Right? So depending upon which you use, one could say, oh, but that's very dry. But the modern society prides itself in being scientific, which means dry. Science and dry are synonyms. Does that make sense? Oh, no, but I want something more personal, more real and all that. But why don't you follow the Vedic? You're saying that's old and that. What's the modern give you anyway? What's the benefit of the modern society? What anything does it offer? Oh, no, but all the technology. You understand? So if anybody wants to say that the modern has any benefit, they will always refer to science and technology. And then at the same breath, they'll say, we're not interested in dry. How does that work? Science means dry. You ever seen a nerd? They're dry. Just the way they are. Right? Amongst nerds, then, you know, it's a great time. But amongst anyone who's not a nerd, then it's just like they're so dry. Yes.
Science is dry and technology is completely impersonal.
Yes. Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
Because people just forgot about relationship and all it's all about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they're sitting there talking and then the phone call comes and then the conversation stops because they got to take this as important.
It's more important always.
Yeah, yeah, more important.
Phone calls is interesting.
Yeah. So it's a problem. So unless it really is more important, then it shouldn't be, but... So what to do?
Live our phones at home.
That's good. So they do it. You see more and more people, they do that.
They have this game now, Maharaj. You go out to dinner, everybody puts their phone on the table. And the first person that grabs their phone has to pay for everyone's meal.
Really?
Yeah, that's nice.
Wow, that must be tough.
This is like Russian roulette.
Yeah. Well, you definitely want to put the ringtones on everything, right? You know, so you know whether it really is important or not. Yeah, you know, so if your dinner and your wife calls, then you pay for dinner. But if it's anybody else, then hey, you're detached.
Advertisement.
Yeah, yeah, that's far out.
Yeah.
That's interesting. See, they're not. It means, in other words, they're foolish but not stupid. You know? Okay. The platform of knowledge is advantageous because it is a means by which one may come to the stage of devotional service. That's the advantage. So, since if we're performing mixed devotional service, therefore, better be situated in knowledge, because from there it's much easier to decide on doing something for Krishna than if we're situated in passionate ignorance. So this idea is that, no, we can do whatever we want, yukta vairagya, but the point is if it's connected to Krishna, means then it has to have that pure element, and then what are you going to serve Krishna with? Goodness, passion, or ignorance? Krishna wants your ignorance, or wants your passion? He wants goodness, because that's his lifestyle. Right? Because why would you choose passion or ignorance? Because of Krishna? Because of ourselves. Why would we choose goodness? Right? Because it's a higher principle, or because it's Krishna. So therefore, the platform of knowledge is always more useful than passion or ignorance. So for a devotee, if this is recognized, then it makes life very easy. Then it's just a matter of, okay, what does it do? Why do I do the things I do? So in the beginning, it seems like a trouble. But that's like anything you want to learn. You want to learn to ride a bicycle. Is it not trouble? Right? You know, you plan this morning when you woke up to, you know, end up, you know, bumping into this and that, riding into a ditch and all that. That was your plan, right? No, but you try to get on the bicycle for the first time. That's what happens. Right? So when you start, anything's going to be trouble. So if we want spiritual, then we have to take the trouble. Right? There's just, oh, he wouldn't take the trouble to do it. Right? So that means it's recognized. Effort means trouble. But with time, with practice, then the trouble becomes less and less. Is that? Yes.
Why would the mind rebel against trouble?
Because the soul is looking for happiness.
But we just go on and don't pay attention to the mind?
Basically. Oh, no, we pay attention to the mind. We don't pay attention to the consciousness. It means the mind comes up with something, we accept it. Like that. But, you know, we're not necessarily looking at it from the platform of intelligence. We're using the intelligence because when we say, oh, my mind, I thought of this. But technically the mind thought of that by using the intelligence. Right, mechanically. But you're not necessarily taking advantage of intelligence because you're not doing it because of it's intelligent. You're doing it because it's something that the mind accepted. Does that make sense? So that's why we distinguish here, and then because Shastra says, recommends this, that's why we do it. Then, so in the beginning, it's a bit of trouble getting used to all the, but once we're used to it, then we can do so many things. You know? It's like anything. You start doing anything. You're cooking, and then you're doing this, and you can't do something else. But after a while, you can be cooking on, you know, 4 burners, 6 burners at once. And there's no anxiety. You know? You know, you stir this one, then you do this one, take that one, do that, and you're just doing it, it's all gone. But in the beginning, even doing one of them is the problem. So it's just practice. So that'll be the mode of goodness. It's a lot of rules, but if you practice it, those rules become easy. You know, you look at Achman. It takes up 1.5 pages. But you practice it, it takes you 7 seconds. That's the full Achman. Short Achman takes even less. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that if you practice anything, it becomes easy. So in a society that talks about skills, but that means not skills in the mode of goodness. Because that's against the principle of the modern skills, which is about fruit of activity. So if I cultivate goodness, that means I have to be practicing Naishkarmya. So that militates against each other. So you see the two are opposite. That's why then we're saying, here's skills. And they're saying, no, we need to develop skills. We're saying the same thing. The difference being, we're saying in goodness, and they're saying in passion and ignorance. We're saying in knowledge, they're saying in ignorance. Right? Almost like the, I say tomato, you say tomato. Does that make sense? However, if one takes the devotional service directly, knowledge is revealed without separate endeavor. So that's the thing, is that if we have that nature to function in mode of goodness, we would choose that. But even if we don't have, just by functioning in devotional service, that will come. That's what we were saying before, is that either way you'll get to that platform. So you start off in passionate ignorance, you perform devotional service, that will come. You'll be situated in goodness as a material situation. Or you come with already in a material situation of goodness, you'll just continue that way. Right? So the situation will remain that way, but your consciousness will be pure goodness. So in the beginning, consciousness is pure goodness, but situations are passion and ignorance and a touch of goodness here and there and stuff like that. But with time, the passion and ignorance will be purified, the situation will be better. So if we're thinking material world is so rough and the interactions are so rough, that's from passion and ignorance. Goodness, it's not. It's never rough. goodness means it's proper. Yes.
So in Sadhu Sangha, can we say that it's not about cultivation of knowledge, it's a practice of bhakti?
Yes, yes. But knowledge is a secondary point. We only bring it out so that we're not opposed to it. Right? Why do we could say, but no, we're devotees. Why would we be opposed to it? But when you say about regulating devotional service, regulating your sense gratification, many people get upset.
Yeah.
Why do we have to do this? We don't have to. We're devotees. They just go on and on and on. Same old stuff. Yes.
But then we know from the experience that the first option is ignorance and passion, because if we are untrained, we immediately take those off.
Yes, yes.
We can't take more of goodness at
yes,
all.
Yes. So that's why then we are made aware of it, because the option and mode of goodness is always there. We're not aware of it,
we
can't see it. But by performing devotional service, then we become purified so we can see it. Mm-hmm. Then we start taking that as the option. So, in other words, if I take something, an activity in the mode of goodness to offer to Krishna, that's better than one in passion, which is better than one in ignorance.
Right.
But if I take whatever I take, I connect it to Krishna, I get the devotional. But my intent is good, even though my offering may not be. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like little kids, they come up with all kinds of insane little things, and they're offering it to you to eat. But in their mind, it's about the relationship. So therefore, you don't think, you know, this is insane. How can you offer me this? It's just you take the intent. But the offering itself is not edible, right? You know, they're out in the garden and they pick all kinds of leaves and grass and rocks and mix it up and say, eat, you know. You know, it's not something. So the intent is what you take. So the relationship develops. But as the relationship develops, naturally, the mode of goodness, because of knowledge and detachment, come because of devotional service. It's a side benefit. So then you start to see is that the options in goodness would be better to offer to Krishna than those in passion and ignorance. That's why you can't make philosophies based on that passion and ignorance are okay. It already included in Vedanta. But if you're trying to say passion and ignorance are the methods, that's not Vedanta. Sadly, it's not any of the Vedic philosophies. Sadly, it's not even Buddhism. Even Buddhism wouldn't accept that. You know? So you'd have to go hunting around in some French cafe to find, you know, the philosopher that approves of what we're doing. You know? When we try to just, reject the goodness and just take passion in ignorance.
Go to Greece probably too.
Yeah, probably go to Greece also. Yeah, okay. Either one. France, Greece, it's either way. I say, depending upon where you're stationed, then you would say that's the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. However, if one takes the devotional service directly, knowledge is revealed without separate endeavor. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 127. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yasu Vairagyam Janam Cha Yad Ahaitukam. Devotional service automatically reveals actual knowledge of our material existence. One who is sufficiently intelligent immediately attains the stage of renunciation of so-called society, family, and love, as well as other things. So here probably is using the term so-called, because it looks like a society, friendship, and love. See, society, friendship, and love is important, but only if it's real. Right? So-called society, friendship, and love is not real. So therefore, if it's not real, how do you deal with it? You deal with it according to the Shastra. It tells you how to deal on the unreal platform. Right? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. It's just like you have a drama. You have rules.
How can this be real? What would be real? Society of devotees, but then what's the family?
The family of devotees. The affection between devotees.
As servants of Krishna.
Yes. But the Brajvasis, they all society and friendship and love works for them.
That level.
Is there any other level?
Intermediate level.
You have that level, and you have what's around here. Because that's why you go through the whole thing of Gopu Kumar and that, because we're not worried about what's in between in the heavenly, you know, the heavenly planets, what's in the Aloka and the coverings, what's in the Mahakalapura, Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwarka. We're only interested in Braj. So here, Braj. You know, so then you have here, you have Gokul, and there you have Goloka. So we're only interested in these two. Yeah? Is that what you said? But the thing is that if you know that the rules of the drama are how to make it look like real life, isn't it? If you follow the rules of drama, it's how to make it look like it's real. So that's why the Vedic system, where we're talking about this mode of goodness, is how to enact your life so it looks like the spiritual. Right? And then there is the spiritual. So since you do that to please Krishna, that makes it spiritual. Does that make sense? Like, let's say we're doing a drama about Krishna. Okay. Now, just that you're trying to do a drama about Krishna, if that's the intent, it doesn't matter what's the acting skills of the individuals. Right? It can be bad, but still, it's about Krishna. It's devotionally perfect. Now, what if they are able to maintain the devotional attitude and act in a professional way? Better. What if they can just act in a professional way but not have the attitude? Not very good. Right. That's why we don't see Krishna conscious things get anywhere on this material level. You know, they've tried to do things, you know, like Mahabharata or this or that, but because it lacks the attitude, it doesn't happen. But people do it with the right attitude, even though the skill is not that great. In the society of devotees, it's nice. So that's the whole thing, is that if it's the attitude is there, everything's perfect. It already includes everything else. But now, as it includes, as one develops by practice, one develops the skill, then one uses that superior skill for Krishna. You can't claim that, oh, lack of acting is all right. Yeah, but you've been doing this drama for the last 40, 50 years. You would expect some skill to develop. No. We specifically, you know, maintain no skill because it's all about the attitude. You know. No, that's not. It naturally comes. Is that? Yeah. So that's the thing. It's so-called society because it's not. It's a reflection. But it's a reflection of what? The real society. So, therefore, we're given the rules of the real society. We're thinking, oh, but these don't apply here. Yes, they don't. All these Vedic rules and that do not apply here, technically. They apply there. Right? But because here's a reflection of there, the same rules apply. Right? So they're not rules for the material world. They're rules for the spiritual world. And so, therefore, since you're dealing with the reflection, it makes the reflection look like the spiritual world. Right? But without the devotional attitude, even that's not important. But if you have the devotional attitude, then these secondary aspects will come if you allow them. Right? And even if you don't allow them, Krishna will get you eventually by the how you say, sledgehammer and steamroller methods. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. As well as other things. Society, friendship, and the society, family, and love, as well as other things. So, I mean, anything else. As long as we are attached to society, family, and love of the material world, there's no question of knowledge, nor is there a question of devotional service. Right? So here's the point, we can't be attached. We say, no, but we're this, we're not this. And just by saying that means you can't have devotional service. You can't say, we're Westerners, therefore we have to do like this. That means you're starting off on the premise that I'm not going to do devotional service. You can't say this. It doesn't work. Point is, it has to be done for Krishna. By directly taking devotional service, however, one becomes filled with knowledge and renunciation. In this way, one's life becomes successful. So, one is that spiritually becomes successful because it's connected to Krishna, but also materially becomes successful because the knowledge and detachment come, so you can follow the rules, that everything will work nicely. But if we don't follow the rules, it won't go well. It doesn't happen. Does that make sense? Okay. Then. Yeah. No, but I'm saying the other way, then we feel we do more, right? Because if it's on the next page, we start on 54. Right? Yeah. Here's it. Chapter 26. King Paranjana goes to the forest to hunt, right? So now Paranjana has established himself, right? He's a soul looking for material happiness, for a place to stay. He finds, so that means he needs a body to enjoy himself. So then he finds the city of nine gates. He's very happy with it. But to live in that, then he must, how do you deal with the body? How do you interact with the body? Because the body is made of senses, right? If you had a body that had no senses, would that be any good? No, it's because the body has senses. That's what makes it appropriate, right? So then, but how do you interact with the senses? What controls the senses? The mind and intelligence, right? Therefore, then you need to have the subtle body to go along with it. In other words, I have found the city, the gross body. I need a subtle body because that's what's going to manage it. So therefore, then Paranjana gets a wife, the intelligence, the material intelligence. So the soul's wife is the material intelligence. Right? Does that make sense? That's why in the Shastra we can always talk about the soul as he. Doesn't matter. We're not talking about the male and female on this platform. We're talking about the soul thinks it's male because it's going to control and enjoy, and the intelligence is female, and so therefore that's the relationship. So when the Shastra talks about he, it's talking on this level. It's not talking on the lower of the physical body. There, Dharma Shastra talks, the physical body is this, you do this. The physical body is that, you do that. But otherwise, the other literatures, they're talking about he, meaning the soul thinks of the Purusha. Okay? So now he has this, he's situated nicely. Now whatever the subtle body comes up with, in the way of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then the soul goes along with that. So when the mind thinks, oh, let's eat, the soul, yes, let's eat. Right? The mind thinks, oh, let's go for a walk. The soul, yes, let's go for a walk. So whatever the modes of nature come up with, the soul goes along with it. Right? So that's the conditioned state. That's Paranjana. Is that okay? Okay, and then Prabhupada's pointing out here is that therefore if we connect all these to Krishna in knowledge, then we get out of this state. So the living entity is still in the city with the intelligence, but now everything goes nicely. Just like if the couple is Krishna conscious, the whole Grihastha ashram goes nicely. If they're not Krishna conscious, then as it talks about in the Bhagavatam, all the mundane aspects, that's what's happening. Right? The Krishna conscious, then it's glorious. And if it's not, it's not. Does that make sense? So, by connecting to Krishna, then all the engagement of the senses, everything becomes perfect. Right? So you can either do that by you yourself are able to function in goodness, therefore add Krishna consciousness in there, or you take out Krishna consciousness and then gradually the mode of goodness will develop, you'll be able to appreciate the culture of goodness. So that means you can't reject it. Okay. Paranjana goes to the forest to hunt. Pratigya. When the conditioned soul is overpowered by sense gratification, he gives up religious principles. Paranjana expressed in this excerpt from the purport to verse 4. One form of hunting is known as woman hunting. A conditioned soul is never satisfied with one wife. Those whose senses are very much uncontrolled especially try to hunt for many women. King Paranjana's abandoning the company of his religiously married wife is representative of the conditioned soul's attempt to hunt for many women for sense gratification. Right, so now we see is now he has a situation. He's with the wife. He does everything there, but at the same time is he's not satisfied. He wants to go beyond, find how much more sense gratification could be there. That's the problem. If we take up the path of sense gratification, there is no limit where it stops. Right? So only being controlled by goodness, then we can control that and live a religious life. But the ability to maintain that religious life, basically it's going to be how much you can be Krishna conscious. Right? In other words, if you're born naturally religious, that's one thing. Then, but if you're not, the only chance is Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So since the goal is Krishna consciousness, then there's not a problem. If we're not religious, we take up Krishna consciousness, it will come. If we are religious, we just engage the religiousness in Krishna consciousness. So, yeah. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 26th chapter, the jiva gives up proper intelligence by the influence of tamas and then regains it, right? So you have the intelligence, but then we don't use it properly. So then we don't get the benefit. We want to enjoy sense gratification. We end up putting ourselves in worse conditions, right? Like the man, he gambles. He has money. So intelligent, working with the intelligence, he would invest the money properly, right? Then everything would develop. Not functioning with proper intelligence, he may gamble, lose all his money. Now his situation is very sad. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. The living entity, even though they found a good situation, it's not that they maintain it. Because of bad intelligence, they give that up and do other foolish things. Narad continues his narration to the king. Without informing her, Paranjana leaves his wife for a day and seats himself on a golden chariot. Equipped with weapons, he goes to the forest and hard-heartedly hunts, killing animals without restriction, although the killing of animals is regulated by the Vedas. This is to protect a living entity from becoming lost in fruitive activities. Right? Because the regulation is there, otherwise you become lost. So everything is regulated, otherwise you become overwhelmed by it. As soon as you regulate, then that fun coming from material spontaneity goes away, right? Then it's a matter of doing it. Then it's there is that it's comfortable because it goes nicely. In other words, motive goodness is comfortable because everything goes smoothly, right? Passion ignorance is seemingly attractive because it appears you can get more. It's more intense. But the modes of nature are such that you get covered and thrown, so even though you think I'm doing better, Maya drags you down to a lower level, or throws you down to a lower level. After much killing, the king gradually becomes tired and returns to his palace. He refreshes himself, changes his clothes, and captivated by Cupid, searches for his queen. Paranjana asks the palace residents about his wife's whereabouts. And when he sees the queen lying on the ground like a mendicant, the king immediately repents his hunting excursion and, aggrieved, tries to pacify his wife, suggesting that she is his master and he is her servant. If she is angry, he tells her she should chastise him. If someone has offended her, he says he will punish the culprit. Paranjana then apologizes for going hunting without her permission. And then ask his wife to satisfy his lust. Shloka Anusharana. Verses 1 to 10. King Paranjana goes to the forest. 11:26. King Paranjana returns home and pacifies the angry queen. Verses 1 to 10. King Paranjana goes to the forest. Overwhelmed by lusty desires, Paranjana gives up his wife, intelligence endowed with dharma, and engages in unrestricted sense enjoyment, right? So here we're talking about the proper material situation for the living entity being goodness, right? And we're talking about here just a materialist. So if you want to be situated properly in the material world, you're situated in goodness. But because of his consciousness, therefore he's degrading himself because it's not connected to Krishna. The devotee will take that same position of goodness and use it connected to Krishna and elevate themselves. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear king, once upon a time, King Paranjana took up his great bow. The bow indicates his absorption in being the doer and enjoyer. and equipped with golden armor, the protection of Rajaguna, and a quiver of unlimited arrows, unlimited material desires, and accompanied by 11 commanders, the 10 senses and the mind. He sat on his chariot, the body, driven by 5 swift horses, the knowledge-acquiring senses, which may go on running without making any progress, and went to the forest named Pancha Prashta, 5 destinations, or the 5 sense objects. He took with him in that chariot 2 explosive arrows, ego and possessiveness. Explosive arrows. So ego and possessiveness always have a tendency to blow up, right? The chariot itself was situated on 2 wheels, sinful and pious acts, and 1 revolving axle, pradhan, right? Because you have these acts, but they're based on pradhan, because that's what holds it together. Because everything that you do is made out of the ingredients of the pradhan, right? So what we see here, this is just some of the elements put together in this way, but otherwise you have the greater, right? And that, in other words, is based on the total material energy. My sinful activities, my pious activities are still based on the total material energy. Right. Yes?
Well, we usually say it's based on the heart. Here we just don't want to differentiate.
Oh, you're just saying it's not so much to differentiate. I think it's being the element that it's just material nature. Right? So if you say pradhan is just material nature, the totality of it. Well, then mahat would be the totality, but you know, on the way to work and everything like that. So you could say the chariot, that's mahat. But the axle then would be pradhan. Is that it? Yeah. On the chariot were 3 flags, the 3 gunas. 1 rain, the mind. 19. The mind is mentioned as the reins because of its desires or impressions, but is also called the commander because of its power to make decisions. So we control through. How do you say? Because of our impression, because you're going to have two points here: the mind because of its desires or impressions, and the commander because of its power to make decisions. So you're going to have manas and citta. Right? So in manas, it's just bringing in information, and that would be based on your samskaras. And then citta, it'll make your decisions. Right? Does that make sense? So it has both these aspects. Right? Okay. 1 chariot driver, the paramatma, or the intelligence. 1 sitting place, the heart. 2 poles to which the harness was fixed, the dualities. 5 weapons, the activities of the 5 knowledge-acquiring senses. And 7 coverings, the 7 dhatus, right? So that means the skin, skin, fat, muscle, blood, marrow, bone, 7, right? Like that. So those are the coverings of that. The chariot moved in 5 different styles, the activities of the 5 working senses, and 5 obstacles lay before it, the 5 airs within the body. All the decorations of the chariot were made of gold. 1-3. The first 3 verses of this chapter describe how the living entity is encaged within the material body and is thus conducted by the 3 modes of material nature, Srila Prabhupada writes. The living entity is always being influenced by the 3 qualities, sattva, goodness, rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. These 3 qualities are described in this verse as 3 flags. By a flag, one could come to know who is the owner of the chariot is. Similarly, by the influence of the 3 qualities of material nature, one can easily know the direction in which the chariot is moving. In other words, one who has the eyes to see can understand how the body is being driven, influenced by the particular type of quality of material nature. Right? So you have the aspects of, you can understand how the body is functioning because of the modes of nature, therefore it does what it does, not that it's important on its own. Otherwise, we take that the material body itself is important, and therefore we have to act according to that. Which is interesting, because that's what the Vedas are saying, but from the platform of knowledge, right? This first one is from the platform of ignorance, right? We're not the body, but we have to act according to this body, but how are we acting whimsically without authority of Shastra, right? So this is then the opposite of what the Vedas are recommending, is we're not the body. The body is controlled by the modes. Therefore, according to the modes, we engage the body. Right? So in other words, the Varnashram is suggesting this from the platform of goodness. Daiva Varnashram from pure goodness. But the modern is simply coming from whimsicality. So that's the fun part. Is that what was one was wanting is exactly the same. So the materialist and the devotee are wanting the same thing. They're working with the same thing. The difference is that the devotees recognize that what they want is Krishna, and the karmis don't recognize as Krishna. They think it's what they're working with. So in other words, there is only one material energy, right? And it's working in Krishna's service. But we don't not seeing that, we're bound, and if we see it, we're liberated. Yes?
Can we say that Sambandha and Prayojana are the same? But Sambandha and Prayojana are different between devotees and materials, but Abhideya is the same.
Yes. Yes, because if you want to be successful in everything, you have to use the same rules. The rules apply. So when you say there's a variety of ways to do it, that's because the rules allow. Does that make sense? You're playing a game. You can hit the ball front hand, you can hit it backhand. The rules allow that. Right? Mm-hmm. But you generally wouldn't take it and tie it onto your leg and then dance around and then, you know, do gymnastics and hit the ball. Yeah, if someone could try, it would be a little bit, it wouldn't work as good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the whole point is yes. So the identity is different. They think I'm the controller and enjoyer, or I'm devotee of Krishna. Mm-hmm. And the goal is I'm filling my desire, I'm fulfilling Krishna. Right? So then the problem comes is due to ignorance, then we think that I can use a mundane thing and get a spiritual result, right? I'm the controller, therefore I'm the enjoyer. I'm the servant, therefore Krishna's the enjoyer. So we can't say is that I'm the enjoyer and Krishna's the enjoyer. You know what I'm saying?
Why not?
Then it's mixed.
It's fair.
It's fair. Okay. Okay. But then what methods you will use?
Mixed.
So then you'll get mixed results. So then the results will sometimes be good, sometimes not good.
That's also fair.
Yes, but if you consider that I'm servant and Krishna is the master and follow the rules to please him, then you always get good results. That's better. Yeah, that's why it's being recommended. But what we're meaning is that why choose an inferior system when the superior system is offered and quite usable? This is one thing: the superior is not workable. But the only reason superior is perceived as unworkable is simply because of lack of qualification.
Lack of faith also.
Lack of faith. So that's qualification.
It's a gradual process.
So therefore, would one, let us say the anchor is in the water and you get on the boat and you want to go somewhere. What's the first thing you need to do? Pull up the anchor. But now let's say there's someone standing on the boat pontificating about, we're on this boat, the anchor is in, we're not this boat, and so therefore, since the anchor is in, we should function with the anchor in. Right? What's the use of such? Yeah, no use.
Maharaj, the song actually goes, row, row, row your boat, not pull the anchor up. So therefore, you should just row.
Yes, but it also means gently down the stream. So that means that you are moving down the stream. So that means by gently down the stream, it infers that the anchor has been pulled
up. But it doesn't specifically say to pull the anchor
up. No, it doesn't. It doesn't specifically say anywhere also that you wear clothes from Southern California and that's the international dress. Because we have to remember, most places in the world aren't warm. Yes?
Maharaj, regarding the point about fair, the word fair is also used to mean average.
Fair?
Not bad.
Yeah, or fair is the upper side of average, right? Midland would be the kind of lower side of average. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing. That's just average. But for most, average is good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, at least something.
Yeah, but then that gives rise to the average philosophy, which means this one of not accepting authority, You know, it's just, it's all in the average. So that's why those who accept authority, that's the ones that, that move up. Those who don't, they're the ones that stay in the middle. So, yeah. In these three verses, the activity of the living entity is described to prove how the body becomes influenced by the quality of ignorance, even when a person wants to be religious. Narada wanted to prove to King Prachinabarhishat that the king was being influenced by the tamaguna, the quality of ignorance, even though the king was supposed to be very religious. Right? So this is showing just how the modes work and how one becomes controlled. Right? Otherwise, one will think that, no, I can work however I want. But no, the modes will control you. That's the thing, is the modes are so expert. The first thing is that they cover. Right? Because if you can see that you're becoming degraded, it doesn't work. But if you're covered so you think I'm fine, then when you're thrown into the degraded position, you don't notice it. Does that make sense? So that's why covering is the first potency. Then throwing. Yes.
If by Krishna consciousness we can see that we're covered, it doesn't mean that we don't work with the modes.
No, we work with the modes, but we work with the modes according to how Shastra recommends.
In ideal situation.
No, just in any situation. Because Shastra recommends dealing with our situations according to a set patterns. If we use those patterns, then we'll be engaging the modes, but we won't be controlled by them. It's just like this. Let us say you get on a horse. Now you basically have two options, to be controlled by the horse or to control the horse. Right? So getting on the horse and being controlled by the horse and saying, well, what can we do? We're not this horse, and so therefore the horse is running around. What can we do? We're just, you know, no, you're supposed to learn how to deal with the horse. So the horse goes where it should go, rather than where it wants to go. So is it about the horse, or is it about riding the horse and getting something done? So that's the thing. If we talk about, well, we're from this background, what can we do? That means we're just willing to allow this background to control us however we like. We're being controlled by the modes, and that's passion and ignorance. The fun part is we try to present it from an intellectual platform. You know, so the point is no, if it's an intellectual platform is important, that means that we should be following what knowledge is. And knowledge gives us how to deal with this horse so the horse does what it should. So then the body, being a chariot, is controlled how it should be, not how it will go on its own according to the modes.
Can we say that as long as we see that the modes are controlling us, but we see it, just sometimes it overpowers us.
Yes.
We're on the progressive
path. We're progressive, yes. But we can never say that it's all right to be controlled.
Oh,
we just acknowledge it happens. See, but due to false ego, then some try to say as no, it's okay, because they don't want to say, I'm overwhelmed by the modes. That's just a fact. But they want to say is no. My being overwhelmed by the modes is just as good as great advanced personalities who are transcendental to the modes. How can you compare? That's like saying a rotten cabbage and a very nicely cooked sabji are the same. You know, but one's natural and one's, you know, just doing. Cabbages are just doing what cabbages do, and the other one's artificial. You took it, you washed it, you took off the outside leaves, you cut it up, you cooked it. You know, this is all so artificial. While just letting it sit there and rot, now that's natural. You know what I'm saying? So that's our whole point, is philosophies like this have zero relevance. In fact, zero would be nice. They actually have a negative effect. People actually think that I can be controlled by the modes and I'm okay. Rather than, no, I'm controlled by the modes and I see it's not okay. Just like, how does the guy make money? He knows that he doesn't have money. So then he makes the endeavor to do. When it doesn't go right, he acknowledges that. He doesn't say, no, this is making plenty of money when he's going into the red. He goes, this isn't working. He changes until it works. So acknowledgement is how it works. Someone's sick, they acknowledge they're sick, you can make them healthy. They say, no, I'm fine. You can't make them healthy. So this whole thing is that, oh, we're born in this way, and so we just have to follow that. Then that means you can never do anything for such people. You know, I mean, they're engaged in devotional service, yes, but what you could get from devotional service is like going to the billionaire and asking him for 10 rupees. You could get a bit more, but you're not. Yes? Can changing the belief system. That's what we're talking about, but faith. Faith means now you have faith in something transcendental as opposed to material. Because in the material world, fruitive means I have faith that by engaging my senses and the sense objects, I will be happy. So therefore, to engage the senses and the sense objects, I need facility and situations. So I'll work hard to get the create those facilities and situations. Then I will be able to enjoy. So faith is there. So we're just saying change the faith from material to spiritual. So that's the big point, you know, this leap of faith. You're switching it from one to the other. So the tendency is, okay, this doesn't work, then we switch it to, okay, no facilities, no enjoyment, no nothing, and that will make me happy. That's gyan. So we're using the impersonal to keep us in the mundane. Oh, the Vedic is there, oh, but we reject that because we just want the spiritual. We're not this body. We don't care for all that rules. We're just not this body. But then how do I apply it? I apply it within the material. I'm not engaging the platform of liberation and devotional service. I'm engaging the platform of liberation in mundane consciousness. So I'm using vijnanamoya to support my pranamoya and anamoya. Right? So this is vijnanamoya misra pranamoya. Does that make sense? So we want to be careful of that. We can engage these others in Krishna's service, but we can't use these higher ones down to the lower. Right? So karma misra bhakti is progressive. But bhakti misra karma, even though it's better than just karma, its intent is karma. And so even though we apply bhakti, at one point we'll give it up when we get what we want. So it'll be short-lived. So something like this will take many, many, many lifetimes. So it's not recommended. Right? Does that make sense? So one could say, no, but these people, these individuals, they can't function on these higher platforms. But if they don't know about the higher platform, where's the chance that they'll ever get to it? Right? Do people have $1 billion? No, but they know about people who have $1 billion and what they can do with it. They're inspired. They want like that. Though they are happy just to get their job down at the, you know, burger joint flipping burgers, you know. Because the point is that life goes on. But they know about something higher. Right? It's just like this. Let's say the person is flipping burgers, okay? Then somebody comes along and they think flipping, you know, you have two people. One is, okay, let's say you have a few people, okay. One, they know about those better things. But they're being practical, they're flipping burgers. Now let's say something comes along and they get a better job, an offer. So do they take it or not? They know about the higher principle, they want to have more money, they want this. Do they take it? Yes. Now, what if they have a philosophy that no, flipping burgers is fine because people say it's on the bottom, we're all equal, so then flipping burgers and being CEO of a big, you know, multinational corporation are the same thing, we're all socially equal, so therefore, you know, I'm just going to continue flipping burgers. Does he get any more money? No. So you can say it's equal, but the CEO is probably making tens of thousands of times more money. So they're not equal. So to say they're all equal when they're not, that's less intelligent. You have to know what's equal and what's not. Engaged in the Lord's service, they're equal in that they're both devotional service, but for the results that they generate, there's a difference. If you can't see that, you're a real fool. What's the use of having any brains at all? Why have eyes and ears and nose if you can't tell the difference? You can't tell the difference between, you know, $200 a month and, you know, how you say $10,000 a day. Where's the intelligence? You know, does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that if you can't tell, then one shouldn't speak. So that's the point of frogs. The frogs are croaking, but it only invites Maya, the snake of Maya. They sound very intelligent. That's why Prabhupada calls them a professor. Professor Frog. But Professor Frog is in a well. Professor Frog doesn't know anything beyond his well. Professor Frog is inviting a snake. So we have to be very, very careful here. Does that make sense? Is that work? What doesn't work?
Sometimes it's like faith in Krishna may not be so strong, but also we should try. I don't know. Maybe it's because we have reinforced faith in ourselves that we can do this.
Yes, but do you have faith that you could develop faith? Right? So then that will work. We don't have the faith, but we have the faith that by following this process we'll develop the faith. Or we have the faith that by performing the process we'll develop the faith to want to have the faith. You know, at any point that is connected, so it works. But if we due to social considerations, prestigious situations, then want to maintain our mundane position and say it's as good as someone else who has knowledge and detachment and is functioning according to the recommendation. And my lack of that, goodness and detachment and my mundane attachment is just the same. This is cheating. So we have to be able to tell the difference. We have to be able to tell that there is transcendental and there is material. Right? We have to be able to tell. That's knowledge, being able to tell the difference between spiritual and material. If we can't tell the difference, that's not intelligent. We can talk intelligent, but it doesn't mean we are intelligent. Intelligence is something else. Does that make sense? Right? So therefore, if we have the faith that I can become successful in this, and I engage myself at whatever position I'm at now, but when the opportunity comes up to do something higher, I take it. That's progressive. Because otherwise, what would be the meaning to not take it? Does that make sense? Yeah? So if we don't have, we engage in whatever we're at now. But as the opportunity comes up by us being purified, therefore being more situated in knowledge and detachment, therefore being able to choose a more sattvic option, why wouldn't we take it? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes? No?
As we engage, the negativity goes.
Yes, the negativity goes. But we have to be... we have to be comfortable with letting the negativity go. We can't hold on to it and say, no, this negativity is just as good as positivity. No, there's a difference. So we may have so much negativity, but by performing devotional service, we become purified. We have to embrace that purification. We have to embrace that advancement, not hold on to our attachments and say, no, they're just as good. My rotten cabbage is just as good as this freshly cooked cabbage. We can't do that. That's cheating. Who gets cheated? Ourselves. And if we pontificate, we cheat others. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, 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 Jai Śrīla Prabhupā